We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
803 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. We have Rob Chera in the updates. You guys with us at 215-592-9494. Coming up at 820, we're going to give you the two competing ideas for how to keep sports afloat without fans and safely. One from Jay Williams, one from Mike Florio. We're going to have to vote afterwards which is the more ridiculous idea, because both of them blew me away. I mean, I will always give credit for people to think outside the box. I think it is I think it's one of the most important things we could do as just people, is not think like everybody else and you know, not be afraid to think differently. But sometimes you're so far outside the box that you can't even see the box anymore. And I think Mike Florio's idea fit in that. So we'll bring those to you in a couple minutes, and I will unveil my NFC quarterback rankings in a minute here. Let's talk to Greg first. He wants to talk wide receivers. What's up, Greg?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Greg. How are you?
Good.
What are you thinking here?
Well, I guess a little bit outside the box. One thing I haven't heard a whole lot about was Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame. I wanted to see what your thoughts were on him as a sort of later wide receiver.
I like him. You know, I'm trying to think of where he might go. I mean, I don't think we're talking about anything close to a first-round pick, maybe a third-round player. You know, I remember watching him a couple games last year, and I think there's ability there. And I think that at some point, mid-round, third-round, I could see his name being called.
Yeah, he's moved up a little bit. He had a good combine, ended up being a lot faster than most people thought. He's a big guy. He's about 6'4 and 240. And they were talking about using him at tight end until he ran a 4.42, which moved him up a little bit. But I think the interesting things about him is his athletic nature is that, which I think would help the Eagles. He's from Canada, and he didn't play football until he was a junior in high school, so he's a basketball player. But he also, even to the very last games, plays special teams, and is a monster special teams player.
You know what I like about him? One, you mentioned the size, which is outstanding, and the athleticism. But I'm looking at his stats right now just to kind of get a refresher and see what he did. I mean, I just like how he improved exponentially every year. You know, he basically started getting his playing time as a sophomore, and then, I mean, he went from 29 catches to 50 to 6. Last year, 66 catches and 1,037 yards and 13 touchdowns. I mean, the guy, you know, red zone was just that was his place to shine.
Right. Yeah, I think so. He was a big mismatch problem for a lot of those 5'10 corners in college. So
it just shows
anyway,
you, Greg.
I agree with you. I thought he might be a nice little second round if he's still around for the Eagles again.
Yeah, it just shows you how deep this receiver class is. I mean, I've probably heard, you know, I've probably heard people call in with 15 other names or at least 10 other names at wide receivers before we, you know, the name you brought up. And that just shows, like, in another class, in another year, maybe we are talking about a first-round pick with this size and production. And yet in this class, like, someone's going to get this kid later on.
Right. All right. Well, that's all I have to say. And I agree with you again. I can't see how big it could be on that guy's list at all.
Greg, appreciate it. It doesn't make any sense. Like, at least Greg gets it, Tucker.
And here I was about to compliment Notre Dame football, but all right.
What were you going to say? They're good? They're relevant?
I was going to talk up Chase Claypool, but now I'm thinking maybe not.
You have a take on Chase?
I think he's all right. My take on Chase Claypool right now is the ability of DK Metcalf to go from being like a workout warrior to translating into a difference-making wide receiver in his rookie year, I think bodes well for him.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting just to think about the Eagles and their strategy with that, because over the past few years, I think this dates back to Joe Douglas. I'm trying to think if this was always a Howie Roseman thing or if it was more a Douglas thing. But the Eagles have really prioritized college production. They like college production, and they want to say that translates to the NFL. Danelle Pumphrey, college production. Derek Barnett broke the sack record of Tennessee, college production. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, college production.
And then Matt Collins.
Matt Collins, college production. DK Metcalf. Now, who knows all the reasons why the Eagles did not draft DK Metcalf last year? But one of them, I think, was it last week or a couple weeks ago, one of the times Howie talked this offseason, he had mentioned that he didn't say DK Metcalf by name. He will not do that because it makes him look stupid, and I think it's tampering anyway. But like he's kind of alluded to the idea that in the past they may have shied away from a player who didn't have great college production, and maybe that's now they revisit it. It's not the way to go. Now, who knows if it's going to be Chase Claypool or somebody else. I do wonder, Tucker, if they're thinking about revising their own belief system and, like, if a kid just pops on film because of his size and speed and ability, but yet he didn't put up big stats, maybe they go the other way.
It is interesting because the Eagles have prioritized that, and it's almost a safe choice, right?
Yeah.
Taking a guy with 50 career sacks in college, that's a safe choice. Take a guy who has done it compared to taking someone who doesn't have that production and maybe flashes a little bit more, and you coach him up, and he becomes the Pro Bowl or the All-Pro player. But Claypool has enough production in his career. He had 1,100 yards his senior year that they shouldn't shy away from considering him in the third or fourth round. And I just found this little statistic. So he's 6'4", 235. The only person to weigh that heavy and run a similar 40 to him is Calvin Johnson.
Say it again, 6'4", 235?
He's 6'4", 235. The only other person to run a sub 4.45 40 at that size is Calvin Johnson.
Are you saying the next Calvin Johnson is out there? Is that what you're telling us right now?
Yes.
Go get Howie.
Yeah. In the third round, the next Calvin Johnson will be available.
I have to imagine. Look, everyone's basically locked in at home. We're past 8 o'clock. We know sometimes I always wonder what our audience does, the evening show audience, because I think the other parts of the day on WIP, you can kind of surmise what the audience is doing. Angelo's audience is mostly on their way to work, right? The working person who's getting up at whatever time, bringing their kids to school, going to work. I think the midday show's audience is primarily at work, trying to pass the time at work and being entertained by Joe and John. And I think the afternoon show audience, a little bit at work, and then they head their way home, and they're in traffic sitting whatever bridge and on 95 listening to Ike and John argue about whatever we're arguing about that day. And I always wonder what the evening show audience, like, who are you guys? What are you doing? And we now know. We now know what everyone's doing. You're locked in your house. You can't go anywhere. Not allowed. So you know who's just like you and me? Howie Roseman. Howie, I'm sure. You think Howie's got an old school radio on, or is he radio.com in this thing?
Oh, he's definitely using the radio.com app.
So Howie's in his, what do we think? We think Howie has like a man cave? Think he has like an office?
He probably calls it a den or a study.
He definitely calls it a den.
He has like a bookshelf on one side.
Yes. He has a picture of him holding up the NFC Championship trophy.
Right.
You know, from the game at against the Vikings at the Link. Yeah, so Howie's in his den right now, or his office, or whatever you want to call it, and he's streaming 94 WIP. So we have the draft picks for you. I mean, we have them for you. Howie, you just have to listen, and we will bring them to you. Okay, so I had mentioned earlier that I wanted to rank all of the NFC quarterbacks, because today, so Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, I guess today was debate Dak day. It was debate Dak day. It was debate Carson day. And they were talking about all the different quarterbacks. And so Carson Wentz, according to Dan Orlovsky, was ranked as the fourth best quarterback in the NFC. Fourth best right now. And I think, what was it? Was that back in January, Tucker? We did the Carson Orr little thing where we kind of picked Carson Wentz or whatever quarterback you threw at me for the next 5 years.
Yeah, you were at Temple that night. They beat Wichita State.
That's right. It's one of the is it one of the most memorable nights you've had in a long time in terms of sports?
Probably.
I mean, and they didn't even play well after that, did they?
No, that was like their only win of this calendar year for probably through mid-February.
Okay. So that was
followed by like a 6-game losing streak.
That was in January. So here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to write 1 through 16, and we're going to do it together on the air. I'm going to give you my 16 quarterbacks in the NFC right now. The starters, not the backups. I know Tucker wants me to name a backup, that former Temple guy who's down in Carolina now. We're not going to do that. But I'm going to go through this one by one and tell you where I would rank Carson Wentz among the NFC quarterbacks. And I will preface this by saying, you're probably going to say, oh boy, here we go. Julio's got this guy solo. I do think right now there are more good quarterbacks in the NFC than there are the AFC. So wherever Carson Wentz ranks, like, you can't double it up and say, oh my goodness, you think he's this ranked quarterback? Because there's not as many in the AFC that are really good. Like, in the AFC, you have Mahomes, you have Jackson, who are star-level quarterbacks. That, at this point, you may assume, I'm going to exclude Roethlisberger because he has to come back from a pretty major injury. Am I missing another star-level AFC quarterback?
Deshaun Watson's the only one.
Deshaun.
And he's maybe a half step better than Carson Wentz. Yeah. They're pretty similar as far as career goes.
I would put them right in the same range, you know, in terms of what they are right now in the NFL. So, yeah, I think the AFC really only has three really good established quarterbacks. The other guys are really young, like Baker or Darnold or Josh Allen or whatever. Or they're like Ben, and they have to come back to being prominent again. So the NFC is loaded at quarterback. So let's do this. Let me see where I rank Carson Wentz. I'm just going to keep going until I find where Carson fits in. Number one, by far, is Russell Wilson. There could be no arguments there. And if you don't think Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the conference, I think you are losing it. Number two, we're going to go Drew Brees at number two. I know Tucker, for some reason, Drew Brees and Bacon, for some reason, Tucker just doesn't appreciate. But Drew Brees is still humming along. Even though his arm stretch is not what it used to be, he completed 74% of his passes last year. Number three, we're going to go with Aaron Rodgers, the third best quarterback in the NFC right now. Number four, who should I put at number four? I'm thinking we're going to go Matt Ryan at number four, fourth best quarterback in the NFC. Tucker, you're not in agreement with that?
I think that's pretty high for a guy who went 7-9 last year.
He did go 7-9, yes. And last time he made the playoffs, what, 2 or 3 years ago? 2 years ago.
2 years ago, the Eagles beat them in the playoffs.
Yes, they did. Here, I go Matt Ryan at number four. Number five, let's see. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw look at the bottom of the list here. You know who stinks? You know who's the last one in the NFC? Dwayne Haskins. Number 15, Daniel Jones, has not proven himself yet. Number 14 is Teddy Bridgewater from the Carolina Panthers.
He'll be a backup by week three, probably.
That's a bad contract if he is. I got to put in here at some point? My guy, Nick Foles. I think Foles feels like the 12th best quarterback in the NFC.
Over Trubisky?
Oh, I'm not even listing him. Mitch Trubisky's now a backup quarterback. He's like P.J. Walker. He's like Nate Sudfeld. He is a backup quarterback. I'm assuming Foles has dropped. All right, 1 through 4 in the NFC. Wilson, Breeze, Rodgers, Ryan. Who am I missing here, Tucker? Who's going to go in next? All right, I'm going to slot in Tom Brady at number 10. Brady, I've said before, I think Brady is – we are getting to the point where Tom Brady is soon to be washed. I imagine he has one more resurgent year in Tampa Bay, and he's pretty good, and they're a playoff contender, and then the whole thing fizzles out. So I'll go Brady at number 9. I have a little spoiler. Carson Wentz will be ahead of Tom Brady. There's no question about that. Where am I going next? Jimmy Garoppolo is the 5th best quarterback in the NFC right now. He's number 5. Wilson, Breeze, Rodgers, Ryan, Jimmy G. Kirk Cousins is number 6.
MVP candidate last year.
Kirk is number 6. Playoff quarterback, been one of the most consistently good quarterbacks in the NFL for a long time. All right, I got my list here. I'll unveil it in full as I found my spot for Carson Wentz. My top 10 quarterbacks in the NFC right now: Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Tom Brady. 1 through 10.
Really going to stick with Wentz behind Goff, huh?
I have been with that for years. I don't know why I would change it right now.
Yeah, just because you were wrong 2 years ago doesn't mean you have to keep doubling down on it.
I mean, you could look at their careers, and you could tell me where one guy is appreciably better than the other. You're not going to find it. Look at their career numbers next to each other. And that is with Jared Goff having a miserable first season, while obviously Carson was way better than him in his first year. You can include their rookie year numbers, and their careers are remarkably similar. I go Wilson, Breeze, Rodgers, Ryan, Jimmy G, Cousins, Dak, Goff, Wentz, Brady. I'll go Kyler Murray at 11. I think Kyler Murray is ready to pop. He goes at 11. I'll go Foles, 12. Stafford off the injury. Now, Stafford would be higher if I knew he could be healthy again. He's 13. Bridgewater, 14. Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins. Here's the good news for the Eagles. I saw today FanDuel had them at favored in 5 of 6 NFC East games next year. Here's the great news. The two worst quarterbacks in the NFC right now are clearly in the NFC East with Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins. Clearly.
You don't think either one can take a leap in their second year?
They can, but who would I put them over? Like you might say Foles or Bridgewater. Like they could be better. But right now, they're not better than them yet.
No, I mean, if you were playing a game tomorrow, they would definitely be the last picks. But we've seen in the past, right? And I'm not saying that Dwayne Haskins or Daniel Jones is going to be Patrick Mahomes or Carson Wentz, right? Or, you know, people are expecting Kyler Murray to take a jump in year two.
Me?
But, yeah. But, well, we've seen that before. Like, no one expected Carson Wentz to be a top five quarterback his second year, and it kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, before you go on with the Goff thing, and because I know you're looking up the numbers in there.
I did look up the numbers.
So, I mean, this is how loaded the NFC is at quarterback. You can agree, disagree with Dan Orlovsky putting Carson fourth in the NFC. I have him ninth in the NFC. One of these, I'm gonna read off these 10 names again. Wilson, Breeze, Rodgers, Ryan, Garoppolo, Cousins, Dak, Goff, Wentz, Brady. One of those guys has to be the 10th best quarterback in his own conference. I mean, this is as good a quarterback I can remember the NFC ever being. I have Tom Brady 10th. Like, even if you say, Joe, it should be Cousins, or Joe, it should be Goff, like, those guys are pretty accomplished players. Like, they've had good years, good moments in the NFL. Someone's got to be towards the bottom of that. It's loaded.
It's almost like the Western Conference in basketball, yeah. Isn't it? Like, the probably 8 of the top 9 players all play in the Western Conference right now.
Like, you know how much it pays me to put Nick Foles 12th? That pays me.
I'm surprised they didn't put him ahead of Wentz. I'm sure a lot of people are shocked by that.
Well, I'm going to have to be fair. Last year, Carson Wentz was the far better player.
Because right. The other had a broken collarbone.
Yeah, the other couldn't play. Now, if he played, it might be a different story. So what's your you dug into it. Foles, Goff, their careers.
Well, Wentz and Goff. I could bring up Foles if you want. But
no, Wentz and Goff.
So Wentz has played more games despite being an injury-prone quarterback.
Well, he got to play earlier in his rookie year, but yes.
Higher completion percentage, more touchdowns, less interceptions.
What is the completion percentage difference?
63.8 to 62.4.
Okay, so what is it, 1.4?
1.4, yeah.
What's their passer ratings?
92.7 to 91.9.
Pretty close.
Wentz has 10 more touchdowns. He has 7 less interceptions, 500 more rushing yards.
More wins?
He has 1 less win and 4 more games.
Playoff wins?
2 more games.
Did he ever win a game like that I'm watching on ESPN in front of me here by scoring 50-something points?
Didn't he beat Jared Goff by scoring like 38 points?
He didn't even finish the game.
He threw a touchdown on a torn ACL, Joe.
It was an amazing play. Yes, I'm a Goff guy. And he is that Monday night game, which is one of the craziest games I've ever seen, is on right now. 215-592-9494. My NFC quarterback rankings. Where do you have Wentz right now? Dan Orlovsky put him fourth in the conference right now, heading into 2020. I don't think he's there yet, and I think the NFC is loaded with quarterbacks. I would have Carson Wentz ninth. Wilson, Breeze, Rodgers, Ryan, Jimmy G, Cousins, Dak, Goff, Wentz. Those are my top 9 quarterbacks in the NFC right now, and I have Tom Brady at 10th, which is just – I never thought I'd say anything like that. Those are my 10 best in this conference right now. 215-592-9494. That's it again, and we'll come back. Your phone calls, do you believe wide receivers are overrated like I do? The Eagles don't need a number one. They need competency at wide receiver. They don't need a true number one. I think it's one of the most overrated things in the NFL. And when we get back, we got to have a face-off between the most – out-of-the-box ideas to have sports without fans in a safe place. NFL versus NBA. Well, you hear those coming up next. Sports Radio 94 WIP. 826 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. We have Rob Chair in the updates. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard. We're going to bring you this face-off of wild ideas on how to have sports without fans coming up in just a second. Let's go to the phones first. David is up on WIP. Hey, David.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I got you, David. What's up tonight?
Okay. All right. First, just to show you I'm not a hater, I agree with what you said about the receivers. I've been here. Everybody's been in a panic all week long. And I'm trying to think back. I didn't look it up, but I'm trying to think back to the Super Bowls and all the Super Bowl winners who were like had these best in the league receivers. And if you even just start, like you said, go back to the Eagles Super Bowl. Let's say they don't need competency and they don't need to improve, but they had to improve their secondary, way more important than a receiver.
I agree. You know, David, you're
critical.
Right. And I think with Doug, and we saw in December how Carson played, obviously they need to improve receiver. No one thinks they don't, but I don't think the need for a great one is so acute. Like, if they just get good receivers, competency, this offense will be fine. I mean, we saw it when they won the Super Bowl with Alshon and with Torrey Smith and with Nelson. They didn't need a special receiver.
Right. But please give me time to address this list. Are you insane?
How
did you have Jimmy Garoppolo anywhere near? I mean, they all should be insulted that Jimmy Garoppolo's there.
Jimmy Garoppolo is a very good quarterback.
Okay. You can say he's a good quarterback. What has he done to prove that? He had one good season, and in the playoffs, he went 11 for 19 and 6 for 8. They were afraid to have him throw. You can't possibly say he's better than Wentz or really almost any of the other quarterbacks you talked about. Now and Cousins.
But David, during the regular season, I mean, you're not wrong about the playoffs. Now, I think part of it may have been a little bit of scared that he would turn the ball over, but part of it was they were gashing the Packers. Like, there was no reason to throw the ball when you're running it that well. But, like, during the season, David, he had moments. They came back and beat the Cardinals. The game that he won, I think it was the game of the year, that when the Niners
He had moments in one season. It was the only season he really played
much. But, David,
if you look at Wentz's career, Wentz has had way more moments and done so much more than him.
No, he hasn't.
I mean, it's really ridiculous.
David, what are you talking about? Carson Wentz had one great year. He's won double-digit games once.
Well, Carson Wentz, even in the other years, first of all, that great year, he was going to be the MVP. If he hadn't gotten hurt. But beyond that, if you just look at the other years, he's done so much more. If you look at it, please at least break down the statistics.
Well, he's played more, David. He's had more opportunity to do more. I'm just saying, I think this. If I had to win a game tomorrow, I'd go out there with Jimmy G, and I think I'd have a better chance to win the game.
You are insane. I mean,
he completed 69% of his passes last year. You're making him out to be a bum.
I'm sorry, what was the last thing he said?
He completed almost 69% of his passes last year. Like, he's not a bum. He's a good quarterback.
In one season where he's playing on a team that, like you just said, didn't have to throw the ball because they were running roughshod over most teams.
But he threw the ball. But he threw the ball last
season.
Year.
In no way stacks up to the career that statistics that Carson Wentz has done and what he's accomplished in the games he's played.
But Carson Wentz Carson Wentz has never been as efficient as Jimmy Garoppolo was last year. Never.
He had one efficient. I don't want a guy who's efficient. I want who the best quarterback is. Give me a guy who's going to make big plays as compared to Garoppolo.
But Garoppolo makes more big plays.
He doesn't make more big plays.
Yes, he
Please
does.
Break down their career statistics.
Let's do
one good season, and it wasn't even a great season.
Let's do it right now, okay? We'll do it together. These are their statistics compared to each other. Now, obviously, Carson Wentz has played more, so there's more of a sample size, so that you can use that for your side. So Carson has played 56 games. Jimmy's only started 26. So he's got a significantly more sample. But completion percentage, Garoppolo 67.5. Wentz is 63.8. Let's go to yards per attempt. 8.3 for Garoppolo to 6.9 for Carson Wentz.
You're talking about a really small sample size.
But I understand that, but this is all we have. Yards per completion, 10.8 for Carson, 12.3 for Garoppolo.
By that measure, he's probably probably better than Brady's career. He's probably better than name another quarterback. He should be better than Mahomes.
They're both young quarterbacks. Like, they're both the same age. I mean,
they are not comparable quarterbacks.
Jimmy
Garoppolo is nothing close. Not just Wentz. I mean, he's not as good as almost any other top 10 quarterback you mentioned. And Kirk Cousins. I love the stats he's accumulated in his career, but he doesn't belong ahead of Wentz either.
Why?
Because look.
But I understand, like, David. Before you go on, I want to continue the conversation. I want to say the way I view quarterbacks sometimes is different than others. I don't care about talent. Talent is for draft season. When you're on the field in an NFL game, I care about how you play and production. The fact that Carson has a bigger arm or he can run is irrelevant, because if the Eagles don't win a lot of games, or he doesn't have a high completion percentage, or they don't put up 30 points,
Completion percentage is really not, not the way to rate a quarterback.
David, how do you rate a quarterback?
What's the interception touchdown comparison between Garoppolo and Wentz?
Well, I don't think that's a great way to do it either, because touchdown percentage could be wildly fluky. Why? It's wildly fluky.
But well,
I will give it to you. It is Wentz is 97 to 35, and Garoppolo is 44 to 21. But if you want to use that, David, and that works in your favor in this argument, I'm going to bet you Kirk Cousins over the last couple of years is better than Carson in it.
No. Let's not talk couple years. We got to look at what Kirk Cousins has done.
So what do you think about
this? You can't just skip the years that Kirk Cousins was throwing way more interceptions.
How about
than
so what metric do you use? Is touchdown interception ratio the only thing? How about passer rating?
No, not just that. It's not just that. You just look at the two quarterbacks. Let's go by what all the evaluators in the NFL have gone by coming out of college. He's a both.
No, David, I don't care about coming out.
What was Garoppolo drafted?
I don't care about coming out of college. You know what? That's for draft season. Once you put the uniform on in the NFL, all that matters is what you do.
And Garoppolo hasn't put the uniform on enough to prove anything.
Well, then, but that's a separate argument. If you want to say he's not there yet.
He was a game manager on a team that had an incredibly dominant defense, an incredibly dominant running game. He threw for 77 yards in the playoffs and 131 yards in the playoffs in two games. That's ridiculous.
Jimmy,
he was a great quarterback, if he's the fifth best quarterback in the league, really, seriously, he's the fifth best quarterback in the league.
Not the league. No, first of all, not the league. Not the league. We're talking about the NFC. Just not the full league, just the NFC.
Well, in the NFC. You're telling me he throws for 77 and 131 if he's the fifth best in the NFC?
So you explain this to me then. If Carson dragged the Eagles by himself and he had to do more, right? He threw the ball more and did more. Meanwhile, Garoppolo was along for the ride. You know how many yards separated how much they threw for per game last year, the two quarterbacks? Four.
I'm not talking about just last year. I'm talking about in their careers. Carson Wentz was the
Garoppolo has better
the
numbers,
MVP
David.
Until he got hurt that
Garoppolo
year.
Has better career numbers.
Only because you picked the statistics you like. And judging his better career numbers.
Well, no, but you wait a second. But it's not fair.
Garoppolo's career numbers are mostly weighted by this year, again,
right.
Where he was in a situation where he had he only had to throw when he wanted to throw.
But let me ask you a question. If we're going to talk – now, you're talking about a quarterback, and I am, that haven't played the exact amount of games. So is it fair to use touchdowns? No, because one guy is obviously going to play 30 more games. He's going to rack up more touchdowns. What I was trying to use was percentages, right? Like quarterback rating and yards per attempt. But
the ratio and the interceptions to touchdowns, it's the ratio too. Okay, it's not just the numbers. You're right.
I agree.
You're right.
And I acknowledge that one. That's check mark for Carson. Like I acknowledge that to you.
Garoppolo may turn out to be a really good quarterback. But he has not done enough to put him in the top 10. All I'm saying is you can't wait a guy on this one year, which wasn't that spectacular year, and say he's the fifth best quarterback. He's got to show more. You could say, I think he will be. But if you're saying, I don't believe you look at a guy and see whether he can make a big play or he's got the stronger arm. If you're not judging the quarterback on their physical talent,
I don't do that.
You can't put him at fifth.
I don't do that, David. I think the physical stuff is the most overrated thing. I feel the same way in baseball.
What he's accomplished, right?
What he's accomplished and how he plays.
Right. And he hasn't accomplished enough to be fifth in the NFC.
My point is, if I had to go out there tomorrow and win a game, I'd rather the guy that is more efficient and more accurate. That's why I picked him. That's why I picked him.
I hope you enjoy that because you're going to be home after not make the playoffs or be out in the first round. And I'll take the quarterback.
But wait a second.
Who's going to make the plays necessary other quarterbacks can't make.
Your point is just – you just said something. Last year, one quarterback barely made the playoffs. The other one was in the Super Bowl. You're making it sound like
– Okay. You're telling me Garoppolo was the reason they ever made the playoffs and got to the Super Bowl? Come on. He was carried by that team.
I think you missed a lot of their season, David, and you watched the playoffs. That's my opinion on this. I appreciate it. Because if you watch the season, you're not making sense. I think what the Niners were last year was very similar to what the Eagles were 2 years ago. A great defensive line, a great roster. The quarterback was very good, but they were good independently of just having the great quarterback year. It wasn't just that one player. The Eagles weren't 11-2 because Carson Wentz. Obviously, they were not because he left, excuse me, and they continued to win, including a Super Bowl. The quarterback was a big part of it, just like in San Francisco was a big part of it. I mean, you can argue for Carson over Jimmy G. I bet a lot of people will. I think we did that show the night before. Was it the Friday before the Super Bowl?
Wasn't that Andy Reid Appreciation Day?
Maybe. Maybe it was the night before the NFC title game. Something like that. We had this conversation. We had the who would you rather have the next 10 years, Jimmy G or Carson? They're the same age, so this debate will not go away. I just don't understand. Like, when one guy has a higher completion percentage, yards per attempt, passer rating, like, that's what he does.
I think a lot of it's pedigree, too, isn't it? Like, Carson Wentz is a second overall pick. He's kind of a blue-chip talent. And even though Jimmy G has been hailed and heralded as a great quarterback since his time backing up Tom Brady, he was a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. He was a guy who sat on the bench for a while and developed. Same reason why Kirk Cousins is always kind of laughed at as just a basic game manager. He was a third-round pick. Same reason why it took Russell Wilson so long to get people to consider him an MVP candidate. He was a third-round pick.
I think that call kind of hit on why I viewed quarterbacks differently than a lot of people. I don't care about the physical at all once they're in the NFL. It just doesn't matter to me. I just think they're all really good at something. They all have some sort of great attribute. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a star quarterback in the NFL, whether it is your accuracy, whether it is your running ability, whether it is your mobility, whether it is your arm strength. Like, they all have something. I mean, even Matt Stafford has something. The guy's arm is as good as anyone you'll ever see. So, like, the physical doesn't really matter. This reminds me of when we talk about pitchers. Like, my brain always equates things to baseball. Is Zach Wheeler and I wish we could see it so we could have this real debate in real life. Is Zach Wheeler a better pitcher than Aaron Nola? No.
Higher upside.
But there it is. That's the Carson Wentz thing. He's not. Game to game, start to start, year to year, he gives up more runs than Aaron Nola. I don't care that Aaron Nola throws 4 miles an hour less than Zach Wheeler. I don't care that Aaron Nola tops out at 94, 95, 96, and Zach Wheeler throws 100. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, the attributes don't matter when you're on the field. What matters is what you do, how you perform. And obviously, football, there's a team game. And that was a fun debate. He's right about the touchdown-interception ratio. I think one of the best things Carson Wentz does, and I always say this, is he protects the ball in terms of interceptions. Now, fumbles has been a problem. But interceptions, he's very good at that. I think it's 3 straight years of 7 interceptions. Kind of a really strange Carson Wentz pattern, but that's good. 7 picks over, 3 years in a row, that's really outstanding. He protects the football. So he gets credit for that. 215-592-9494. Totally forgot to do the thing we wanted to do because we were arguing there. We'll do when we get back. The two wackiest ideas to have sports come back without fans, how they'll be, what they'll be. And yes, we want to debate my top 10 NFC quarterback list. It was actually top 16. And Nick Foles was 12. No one cared about Foles.
Yeah, no one, I guess, I don't know. I'm surprised people aren't happy for you.
Happy for me?
Yeah, like happy that you're getting over Nick Foles.
I've been over Nick Foles. I made my peace with what the Eagles did a long time ago, Tucker. It doesn't mean my
heart. If Nick Foles was still the Eagles quarterback, where would he rank? Eagles Nick Foles is different than everywhere else Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could redo the list, but hi. We'll put it that way. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.